There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Tuesday. Glad to have you here. Also, the second Tuesday of the month. That means Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joins us for Ask the Sheriff. Thanks for being here.
Glad to be here, Sean. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well. Yeah, I've not seen you since Christmas time here. So last time you were in here, you were pulling off a little bit of a Santa Claus look with the beard. That's gone.
That's gone. We finished our no-shave November and don't-shave December, and we raised a few $1,000 for cancer research.
Good deal. You were doing it. I know many of your deputies doing it as well.
Yeah, we each had to kick in some money to be able to grow a beard, and
right.
That was the fundraising part. And you know, in law enforcement, we generally always prohibit beards or any facial hair, and so it's the one time that they were allowed to.
They got
grow.
A little green light. They got a little pass there,
sure,
on growing.
They did.
The...
And then they didn't want to shave them off.
That's right. That's policy for the department.
It's policy. It's been that way. But I'll be honest. I got not a single negative complaint about any deputies with facial hair, and things are changing, and I think the public is generally, beards are probably more popular now, and as a result of that, I've done some research and had some research sent to me that a number of law enforcement agencies are rolling back some of those policies and prohibitors.
This could be coming to a deputy near you sometime, or an officer near you.
That's correct. I mean, if it's something that will help us in recruiting and retention, I don't know how important it is for everybody to have hair on their face, but for some it may be very important.
Now, you've talked about that in the past, recruiting and retention.
Yes.
That is, it's one of the things that you deal with, I'm sure, you know, the start of each week, you got that over your head. Even with all the law enforcement you're doing, you got to have staff.
Yeah, exactly, and we're extremely short in the jail right now with corrections officers. It's just been terribly understaffed for the last number of years, and it's probably the worst it's ever been in my tenure as sheriff.
Really?
It's just a tough job. The economy is good, so there are a lot of available jobs out there, and we're having a similar problem hiring deputies, not as bad, but we're not up to full staff there either, and it's a problem across the country, and I think more serious in the southern part of the United States, but it's a big challenge for us all.
Has the situation changed some with the people getting trained up with one department and moving elsewhere? Is that any better?
No, there's still a lot of that moving around, and some officers that may be forced out or let go from some agencies pop up at other agencies because everyone's desperate to hire police officers.
So the idea of, maybe this term might make you unhappy, but poaching of officers,
yeah, sure,
from one municipality to another or county to another.
It goes on, yeah. And you know, fortunate for us at the sheriff's office, I guess we would be the poacher, but we more people come to us, I think, than leave us to go to other agencies, and so it helps us. But it puts the city of Mobile and it puts the smaller cities in Mobile County at a severe disadvantage. They're all having trouble hiring people right now.
Imagine whether you be officers or deputies or anybody, y'all are trying to get a little bit of rest right now because Mardi Gras is just, you know, about 40-something days away here. Well, the downtown parade season's, what, 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks away?
Well, I don't know when the Dolphin Island parade.
Yeah, that's going to be
the first one.
I think it's the first weekend in February this year, I think.
Yeah.
And then from then on.
Yeah, yeah. So at least the Senior Bowl is, I guess, our Mardi Gras later, and the Senior Bowl will be on the 26th. But, you know, in years past, we've had conflicts with Mardi Gras and Senior Bowl being at the same time.
So y'all got your work cut out for you going forward, outside of the regular stuff you're doing.
Yeah, this is the time of the year it starts getting busy once again. But it's been busy. It's always, for me, it's always busy from Thanksgiving through the end of Mardi Gras. is the busiest time because, you know, Thanksgiving ramps up your shopping sprees, and yeah. you have more crime because there's more victims available to be criminalized, you know, or victimized.
Was that true this year? Did y'all see that uptick?
I think we saw it, yes.
Property crime kind of, you know, stuff?
That's right. I mean, but we compare it with the previous year, so it's always a normal uptick. Our jail population did tick down for the last 6 or 8 months, and it's starting to pick back up, but we are lower by about 200 inmates than we were this time last year.
And that was already down. That's good. So, I mean,
it's good anytime we can get the population down. Because we don't have too many COs to guard them.
You also talked about, if we're going to talk about trends out there, a story you talked about in the new year, and I don't know, you can help me with the facts here, if this was for the Mobile Metro or for the county or what, that homicides down.
Yeah, I saw in the city of Mobile, the homicides were down probably 40% from a year ago or from the previous year. So that's certainly always good news, even though sometimes you...
Well, yeah,
watch
the nature
news,
of it.
You feel like there's an increase, but in the county, in our areas, our crimes are down. Our auto thefts were up last year. I don't know exactly what's pushing that, but we've made some arrests, and hopefully it's going to curtail down. But that was probably the one crime that was really on the rise, not just in the rural area, but the cities as well.
But you see, you've described this before, though. People here go, okay, auto thefts are on the rise, and you said you've made some arrests, you're going to see what happens. You've said it over time that quite often there's a smaller number of people doing many, many crimes.
Sure.
It's not that there's one person stealing one car and another person stealing another car. If you get the person, you often have a big reduction in whatever that given crime is.
That's exactly right. You know, they don't just steal one car if they found a way to make a profit off of it. Sometimes it could be, you know, selling parts of automobiles and then selling the bulk of the car as scrap metal or something like that, trying to get to some places that'll buy them without maybe checking it properly. And you find out, once you catch somebody, you may find out that they've already gone through 15, 20 autos or something like that, or more maybe.
So, I mean, there are pinch points here, whether it's people that you can get that are doing the crime, or I want people to get a copy of that meth initiative book that y'all did. I mean, you couldn't apprehend every meth user out there.
Exactly.
So you had to do it differently.
Right, try to get that choke point. And we were successful with the scrap metals and stealing of copper and copper wire and all a few years ago with some changes in the law and the reporting requirements by the scrap dealers. And that was the choke code, because if they can't sell it, you know, there's no longer profitable.
Right. Instead of chasing everybody who was stealing scrap metal, you went to made it to where there was no profit.
Sell it. Exactly. And it works.
And you did the same thing, I know, when it comes to people getting the smurfing or whatever.
Yeah, the smurfing of obtaining the pseudoephedrine at the drugstores. Once we tightened that up, had the laws changed, they could no longer go smurf it, so they were lacking the main material that they needed to manufacture it.
If you're just joining us, talking to Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, it's your chance to ask the sheriff. You got a question you've been wondering about for a while. Maybe the cubicle over from you told you, well, this is the law, this is the ruling. Well, we have a person here who can actually tell you what is the law on that. We come back, I want to talk about a little bit more on, you know, I hate it, but there's always the next horizon when it comes to, you told us in the past, hey, when you cracked down on the meth labs here, you said, well, the addiction doesn't go away. It's just coming in a different way.
And then
you know, you looked at opioid issues, you cracked down on the pill mills, and then in cities, heroin starts showing up. So I want to see what the trends you're seeing and what you're looking at for 2019 when we come back. Plus, we'll talk to you at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 120 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Continuing our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. It's your chance to ask the sheriff at 343-0106. Also, reminder to the app and the Facebook page and all that they can go to find out more information there.
Yeah, but we have an app that's downloadable. We have a website. And you can follow us on Facebook. And Team Sheriff.
And the app is? Just search Mobile County Sheriff.
Search Mobile County Sheriff's Office, and it, I think it's Team Sheriff also.
All right. Yeah, I like
easy
it because
fine and
And you can go look at who's in jail.
That's the hot spot. That's always been the hottest part of our.
We're just being honest
thing.
With y'all. We could sugarcoat it and stuff and say there are a lot of other great parts of that app, but I imagine the most trafficked area is who's in jail.
It is. It always has been since we've had it on our website.
Yeah,
people are interested in knowing who's in jail, but some for purely entertainment purposes. But sometimes it's nice for people to follow either relatives or exes or something just to see if they're in jail, and you want to make sure or find out if someone that may be around your children has been arrested.
Well, last time you were here, we talked about people getting out so quickly from crimes and recommitting so fast. And that, I mean, it's a prime example, you know, of keeping tabs on people. You had situations where the parole board was letting people out here. Has there been any movement on that? Anything with the governor and that committee?
Yeah, there's still an ongoing, I guess you'd say, a dispute between the governor and the attorney general and the parole board. The parole board responded with some additional changes that they said they would make, but the attorney general, I think, and the governor was still, it appeared to be, less than satisfied. There was no change in any of the personnel within the parole board system, and I think that's what the governor may have been looking for.
It's quite a story, and if people can go back and listen to last month's show or go read up on this, I remember when you brought it to my attention, I said, holy cow.
Yeah, they were letting people out way before their original parole date was set. They would just have them a hearing early and parole many people, murderers and robbers and rapists.
And in some cases, they did not inform the family.
The victims, by law, they're supposed to notify the victim, and that's how one person did get locked back up when the victim found out, expecting the person to do 15 years for an attempted murder, got out in less than 5 years, and she was not notified, and so they did bring enough attention, and they withdrew that parole.
Keep our eyes on that. I'm going to talk about that more with you going forward in the next couple of months, especially if something like that comes up during session in Montgomery. It may get a little more traction. It's funny how things like that work.
That's exactly right.
People asking here about, you mentioned hiring, and how do you become a deputy? What do you do? Where do you go?
You can go to the Mobile County Personnel Board's website, and it has the information there. You essentially put in an application there. You load it into their system. They'll notify you when the testing is opened up for deputy sheriff or corrections officer, and when it's open, you then kind of just submit your application, and they'll process it.
All right.
So we have to hire off the list that they provide us.
So you got to go there first.
Got to go there first.
This question here from Mike says, can a felon be in the company of a license permit holder in a car or living with the permit holder for a pistol or long guns?
Yes.
Okay. So they can be in the same home.
Be in the same home, be in the same automobile. The burden is on us to prove, either through constructive possession or actual possession, for the felon to possess the firearm. And, of course, I know people that are convicted felons and maybe from many years ago, and they have their wives have a pistol permit, and it's a way around the law. But for the most part, I mean, you can't deny the other individual from possessing
deny their rights.
Right.
And that's something that people that aren't familiar with this have often questioned, and I think it's worth saying again, that your concealed carry permit, your pistol permit that you sign off on, is not for a specific firearm. It is for the person, not the firearm. The firearm's not attached to it. The person is.
Right. Many, many years ago, there was a requirement that people had to put their firearm serial number or something on that permit. And I'm talking about back in the 50s or 60s, but that still carries forth in some people's minds that you have to do that. But no, we can issue you a permit, and we don't even want you to bring the pistol in the government building when you come.
Right. It works. I mean, it's for you, the person. You can have whatever selection of
flavor of the day type pistol. You carry this pistol on Monday, this one on Tuesday. You know, if you have a concealed carry permit, you can carry whichever pistol you want.
Sheriff, what do you think about this? So many stories, Florida here recently with restoring voting rights for felons. And then I got to ask this question. I know that there's a nature here where you can have the governor sign off for people to get, because he's asking this question about felons and firearms. Do you think that'll ever come back up as some sweeping movement? They're reinstating voting rights. What about reinstating firearms rights for felons?
A firearm right can be reinstated if they get a pardon from the conviction.
But it's no sweeping. I mean, you've got to apply. It's one person applying.
One person applying to the parole board, and they can give a pardon, and you're pardoning that offense that was the felony conviction, and so therefore you're...
You now don't have a felony conviction?
Well, you have it, but it's been pardoned, and it can reinstate your civil rights, and that's really what you're is preventing it. But if it's a state offense, now when you have a federal conviction, it's a little bit different thing because the state can't pardon the federal thing, but they can give you back your civil rights. And I think there's an interpretation of the law: once you've had your full civil rights restored, then you can get back into the owner of a gun. But
so conceivably, a felon now, like say in Florida or whatever, could you know, say they had a state felony, they mm-hmm. could they had their voting rights restored, and they could have their Second Amendment rights restored.
If they're a convicted felon, though,
if they get pardoned,
yeah,
right?
I don't know enough about how they're pardoned in those as far as
different state by state.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, each state regulates who votes in their states.
That's true. So, if Florida's done it, and, I don't know if Alabama's going to be doing that anytime soon. All right, we'll go to the phones at 343-0106. Your chance to ask the sheriff, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran, in studio. And first up, Fireball. Hey, Fireball.
Hey, guys, y'all doing a fantastic job. Sheriff Cochran, how are you doing today?
Doing very good. Thank you, sir.
Ask me how I'm doing.
How are you doing?
Ain't nothing to it, just like my paycheck. Sheriff Cochran, is there any way? I know a young man that was convicted of selling drugs. He didn't do the drugs. He was convicted of selling drugs, mm-hmm. and he's a felon now.
Right.
But he's turned his life around. He's a minister. He's a good young man. Is there any way of getting his gun rights back?
Yes, he can file for pardon from the Alabama Pardons and Parole Board. It's a long drawn out process. It takes a while because of the bureaucracy, but he can get that, and he needs to ask for restoration of his firearm rights with the pardon.
Okay, and then it takes a number of character witnesses, right?
I think so. Yes, but the forms that you'd fill out would indicate all what you need, and I think you can get that from their website.
Okay, all right. Well, that's all I need to know. Y'all doing a fantastic job.
Thank you, Fireball. We appreciate it. It seems like maybe it's changing. And this is one of the things that I've heard you talk about before in the past, too, not specifically for the firearms, but this idea that you can't lock everybody up. And I'm not saying that's one or the other, but this idea of kind of there are some changes that have been coming over the last, 10 years, 20 years to police work, to law enforcement?
That's right. And, of course, as you can see, there's a movement across the country, this restorative rights type, and
mm-hmm.
and it's really sweeping the nation, and it's a lot of it is pushed through these national or state legislative groups that are national in nature, and one state does it, and they all look at doing it, and they push it across the country. And so Senator, was it Cam Ward, I think, just
mm-hmm.
put something out week or two ago where there's 750 impediments to getting a job because of a felon or something like that. And so he wants to look at that, and so that's what he's in the act of doing is pulling some of these things back, and so the same will exist for perhaps some of these convicted felons one day being able to get things like gun rights restored or voting rights restored easier than what it is now.
It's easy to sit and say, and I know this is hard because people say, well, those people should absolutely suffer for the crime, and I get that. I'm not ignorant to it.
Mm-hmm.
But with the number of people that get incarcerated and come out, if you don't give them a way to get back, and I'm not even talking about voting rights or guns here. I'm talking about being able to go get a job. Mm-hmm. You're talking about ban the box and all those things. There's a little bit of that rings true with me because I want those people, if they've served their debt to society and there's not something specific that they're a threat of, like a mm-hmm. sex offender or something like that, that they can and get jobs and get back to work.
There are really, truly a lot of impediments, and I've seen people be sentenced to the penitentiary, serve a couple of years, maybe 3 or 4 years, get out, and all of a sudden some city somewhere has an arrest warrant for an unpaid ticket or suspended driver's license ticket that predated when they went to prison, and now all of a sudden they're facing more jail time, hundreds of dollars, of thousands of dollars in fines and penalties. And I could see where some of that should be just wiped out after a period of time.
Right. I would say that's fair. If somebody goes and serves years you know, mm-hmm. for some other bigger crime. If they had an unpaid parking ticket, let's go ahead and put, if that costs them a couple extra days in prison, put that on it. Let's get it all done and give them the best chance of getting out there and getting back with it. All right, we're going to come back. I got some questions and calls here. The question here to mull over during the break. A caller wants to know the difference between expunged versus pardoned. We'll get into that when we get back.
Okay.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile. Second Tuesday of the month, that means Sheriff Sam Cochran stops by for Ask the Sheriff, and you get a chance to do that right now. Call we had right before we went to the news break, Sheriff said they want to know the difference between expunged versus pardoned, as we're talking about records there. What's the difference in that?
Okay, a pardon is where you've been convicted of a crime, and then a certain authority, whether it be the governor or the president, can pardon you, which basically is saying, I'm forgiving you of that crime, but you still
have, you still did it,
and you still have the conviction, but you're pardoned, and that pardon gives you some rights to go, you know, restore your rights of civil rights and voting, you know, voting rights and stuff like that. And expungement is where you file a motion in court, and the state is put on notice, and the district attorney has an opportunity to protest it, and then it goes before a judge, and if the judge grants the expungement, and there's a law that details when and how you can get expunged under certain conditions, if the judge grants the order of expungement, then we receive a court order, and we pull back the fingerprint cards, the photos, and anything connected with that arrest is gone. And I don't particularly like them, but it's the law. I mean, people really get hung up on being arrested versus convicted, and you know, you can't change history is what I like to say. If you've been arrested, you've always been arrested, and so it puts people in a difficult position to say, have you ever been arrested? And if you've been expunged, you're going to say, no, I've never been arrested.
But if you've been pardoned, you have to say yes.
Yeah, but so sometimes someone may remember that you were arrested.
Uh-huh. Let's say,
and so if that person is ever asked, are they supposed to lie? It just gets real tricky when the reality should be, look, I was not convicted. But now some people, you can be expunged for even a conviction, too.
But see, in today's world, if that story shows up online...
Yeah.
If it shows up, there's screen grabs of everything, but you're going to have to say down at the sheriff's department that
they have no record, and then somebody that screenshots it, you know,
they're going to say they're lying. Look,
our jail logs every day, they're downloading our jail logs to see who's arrested. So we take away their arrest, there's no record of it, and then somebody pulls it up on Google or something and says, oh, yeah, he was.
Hey, that was probably maybe expungement, a law for a different time or a method for a different time that may be changing.
Well, the expungement, the law was just passed about 4 years, 5 years ago. Now, in the city of Mobile several years ago, they were doing expungements only to find out they couldn't legally do it. And there was a little bit of a political crisis back while I was still police chief about that time. And fortunately, I did not even know, but we were keeping the records of the expungements in the records, and so we were able to reinstate a lot of those arrests that people thought had been expunged.
This one here, back to the jobs thing, this is interesting. Are there any part-time jobs available with the Sheriff's Department?
There are some part-time jobs. We have what we're known as a community resource officer, which is a part-time job. They're the people that direct traffic for school crossings, but they also work a few other areas within the Sheriff's Office. And just recently, we created part-time positions as correction officers in the jail. And so we mainly did it to try to rehire some people that are retired but can work still a few hours a week and rehire them so they'll be part-time. But so those are really the only part-time positions I know of.
I'm going to kick over an old rock here. But you mentioned about people having positions, maybe bringing people back that are retired.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any change in the Mobile County school system with armed resource officers in schools?
No change whatsoever.
Okay. You did, just I want to bring this back up, because you offered this on the show way back when. You said that you would do what?
I would deputize them if that would free them up to be able to carry guns. I would deputize them so that they could, you know.
The sheriff of the county will deputize them so they can carry a gun. But the rules of the Mobile County Public Schools say The resource officers are not allowed to, now Baldwin County different, but here they cannot carry.
Mobile County has resource officers, and some like Baldwin County has deputy sheriffs. They refer to them as resource officers, but they're actually bona fide deputy sheriffs.
But the check, their paycheck officers. Comes from the sheriff's department, even though they're working in the school.
That's correct. For the deputy sheriffs that are assigned schools. Now, Spanish Fort has a resource officer that's a former police officer in Mobile. Now he works over there for
can
the
he,
city.
Can he carry?
Oh, yeah. He's a uniformed officer, but he's a resource officer working and assigned in that school. You know, Mobile County being so many schools, it's a big hurdle to overcome that first big hurdle to hire so many people.
I just like to continue to just check up on that.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it true that Mobile County does not allow pedestrians to have a police radio?
No, there's no restriction about pedestrians having a police radio.
But can I, for a side note, just for myself, pedestrians need to not have, you know, if you're going to be walking on the dang street out there, how about not having anything you're listening to, police radio or your favorite song? Just, okay, side note, yeah. Sorry. Okay, so any kind of limitations on scanners or police radios?
No. You know, some police channels are scrambled, and some people would not be able to hear that, but most police channels are, you know, if you've got the right electronic equipment, you can listen to it.
Heck, there are apps out there now that put those scanners on the app, and you can go from city to city. And
that's right, and you can pull it up on the Internet and listen to it around the country or something.
We used that just about a month and a half ago trying to figure out why the heck we were sitting on I-20 for 5 hours in traffic trying to figure out what the... Nacogdoches Sheriff.
You know, it's changing everything. I mean, people have been trying to chase after the police. Police used to think, the bad guys are going to be listening to us. And in a few cases, maybe so. But now you have bad guys are sitting with open cell links, you know, someone burglarizing and look out, you know, down the street with a cell phone and can tip them off as soon as the officer turns the corner. And, you know, we have to contend with all those things.
This question, Lee says, can a convicted felon own or possess a crossbow?
Yes.
Because it's archery equipment, right? Because I know that a felon can have
possess a black powder rifle.
Okay, so primitive arms there, so they can, so they can do black powder, and they can have. I do know from working in this industry years ago, selling bows, that convicted felons can have archery equipment.
Right,
but you think crossbow as well? I mean, it's
classified as bow and arrow.
It's archery equipment. By the way, too, where does it stand? People are asking that. We get this question, even though we get it a lot when you're on the show, I get this question from time to time in our discussion. When it comes to concealed carry or pistol permits here, what are the rules governing those now? Age and going forward, anything else they need to know about this?
Well, it's you have to be 18 years of age or older. And
how old do you have to be to buy a handgun?
21 for federal regulations, although Alabama law allows it under 21, but you can't, through a federal firearms license dealer, purchase a firearm.
Right, so, but the 18-year-old cannot go down to the box store somewhere to buy that
pistol.
Handgun
right.
at 18. But right. they, okay, I just wanted to, okay. But
somebody
they
can buy it for them and
give it to them. And then
give it
can,
to them. And it,
okay.
It, there at one time there was a state law against presenting it to a firearm to someone under that. Now it has to be under 18, but even then there are certain circumstances that it's legal. You know, if it's your son, you're buying a pistol for
sure.
target practice.
But they can
like
get
that.
A concealed carry permit at 18.
18, yes.
I tell you, this is just a side note here. It's a little bit of a speed pass that I like about a concealed carry permit, whether I may or may not have one, that are may or may not have been purchasing firearms recently, and it saves you some time on filling out the forms when you go purchase that firearm. You hand your Mobile County
concealed carry
permit over, and it's like Disney has Fast Pass. It speeds you up in line. It does speed up the process of purchasing that firearm.
Right, exactly. That's a big benefit for a lot of people.
It's y'all know how the Fast Pass works at Disney. It's a similar thing. All right, I mentioned this before we went to the bottom of the hour news break, and the question about drugs in our community. And you and I have been talking a long time. We've talked through the meth, talked through the spice. Which, by the way, anything with spice
we don't see much of that.
Isn't that funny how it just?
I think
it was a big thing.
Drug users realized that it was really bad for them.
So it was a self-correcting problem.
Yeah. Fried a lot of brains in the meanwhile, but there are a lot of people that are mentally disturbed because of it.
And then we go to this issue that affects so many people across the country, and of course right here I think Alabama have the highest number of prescriptions for opioids per citizen. I think two Alabama congressional districts is how they broke it up, had more prescriptions per citizen than anywhere else in the nation.
Yes.
And so you had that opioid crisis. Now crackdowns happen nationally. I mean, y'all been working on this for a long time. Attorney General is. But the addiction, just like it's meth or whatever, it doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't go away.
It goes where?
They switch to another type of drug.
Heroin?
You know, people on opioids started buying heroin because it was cheaper to get than opioid pills. And then fentanyl came out, and so many people were buying heroin, but it actually was fentanyl. And then that led to so many deaths of overdose because fentanyl is so much more powerful than heroin.
Now, we've watched this. Birmingham and New Orleans, they have, I mean, it's been through the roof, their issues with the heroin and the fentanyl. Mm-hmm. Thank goodness, I'm not saying it's not here, but it hasn't seemed as bad here.
Yeah, I don't think it is as bad here, but we certainly are seeing heroin.
You are starting to see.
Yes, we've had a number of arrests and investigations underway for heroin in the last 6 months to a year.
But is there some truth here that if there's not a lot of heroin, it still would tell you there's pills?
Yes.
I mean, right.
Mobile historically has had a pill problem. I can go back to my early parts of my police career when I worked in narcotics in the early and mid-80s. Back then, you had people that were selling Dilaudids, and which was a real powerful opioid. And people had a way of life that certain elderly people that had injuries or something could go doctor shop and go get the prescriptions, and they'd make a round and come back to Mobile with several pills, and that's how they earned a living.
It's probably
and
harder.
It was ingrained in. I mean, it's handed down from one generation to another.
It would seem like there may be more prevalence now, but you have a better chance through digital records to find that doctor. I mean, in the 70s or 80s, somebody could do it, and if somebody went to another city, how would you ever know if they got a prescription there?
Well, you wouldn't, and you still have the problem now. It's all within states and not you know, regulated at the state level, and so if you could do all that electronically real easy if the laws would just change to allow them to do it. But the pharmaceutical, big pharma, remember the people behind all this in the first place, they fight those laws that would allow us to, you know, pull up on a computer your name and find out that you've gone to 10 or 15 different drugstores and received a prescription or had it filled, or that you had gone to 10 different doctors from here to Texas. But people leave here and go through Mississippi, Louisiana, and Texas making doctor shopping, and there's always been certain doctors that for a cash fee will write the prescriptions and they come back and sell them for $75 a piece.
Well, that's what I was about to ask. I mean, this shows that I'm probably in trouble here, that I have not gone for my checkups or anything, so I don't know. But don't you have to, if I remember, if you go to a doctor, you have to fill out, I mean, last time I was a doctor, because it's so long every time, first of all, they yell at me. Second of all, I have to fill out a clipboard full of stuff about my address.
Sure.
So if I show up in Houston and I tell them I live in Mobile, Alabama, are they going to say, why are you here at this place?
Well, probably a good professional physician would, but there are many physicians that live sort of on the edge, I guess, and are struggling, and it's just, there's a few bad apples in everything.
All right, very good. Coming back, one last segment here with Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran. You got a question, it's your chance to ask the sheriff. 343-0106, 343-0106 for a text or a phone call, and we'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
150 FM Talk 106.5 phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106. Chance to ask the sheriff, and we can get a chance here, but we just talked about it a little bit during the break, the nuance, and when I've talked about this on the air, people have called the fake liquor stuff in the convenience stores, it's like knockoffs. It's supposed to look like liquor, but it's actually wine.
Actually wine in a bottle. Like you say, it's designed to make you think you're buying a liquor. Just a way to make money and sort of trick the system.
If you'd have given that for Christmas, you would not gotten a smile from people once they opened that.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to a Bob in Theodore. You're on with Sheriff Cochran.
Hello.
Yes, I'm going to get you off this speaker if I can.
Okay.
My question was, when the sheriff's department uses those SUVs when they can use a more economical vehicle?
Okay, why are you using SUVs?
Well, for a number of reasons. In Mobile County, we still have an awful lot of unpaved roads that get really difficult to pass on,
and
high water and things like that. We started with some SUVs to pull certain types of equipment around. The police cars, some of the agents or some of the manufacturers no longer making as many police cars. There's only Ford remains in the business. Chevrolet, I think, has got now the business again and pushing the SUVs, and it's just a national trend. And
yeah, SUVs, I see that. I see the city and state troopers are running these as well.
Yeah, that's right. And because the cars have gotten smaller and smaller, and officers have a lot of equipment, and they have to wear a lot of equipment on the gun belts, and it's just hard to sometimes squeeze an officer in there. But again, the SUVs actually hold the resale value. We try to get about 5 years out of an automobile, and then it's auctioned off, and you get much more for your SUV than you would with a smaller automobile.
I have heard rumored that the federal government paid for those vehicles.
No, there probably is occasionally some grants that are out there or different programs that may purchase some vehicles for some law enforcement agencies, but there's no program where the federal government buys the police vehicles.
Okay, well, I heard Homeland Security bought them is what I had heard.
Well, now, Homeland Security does issue a lot of grants, but say an agency like us, we wouldn't have it. If we'd gotten something through that, it wouldn't be more than one or two vehicles. If we have an officer assigned on a task force, sometimes the task force will provide the vehicle to the deputy.
Okay. All right.
Sure. Hey, thank you. Thanks for the call. What, I mean, often when y'all get grant money, it seems like, correct me here, that it's for officer time, right? For overtime or a lot of times it'll be.
Well, they're different grants, but a lot of them is overtime grants.
It's like seatbelt program, right?
Yeah, traffic safety programs. We have a grant there. We also have another grant program where we work with Homeland Security and do interdiction with them. And that was highlighted about a month ago when I think 80 something pounds of Mexican ice we took off the interstate. And they were working part of operation at that time, being funded by the federal government.
Hey, and that's goes back to that ice thing and the Mexican ice you've been talking about. It's a pragmatic approach I appreciate. You said, you know, y'all shut down this meth production around mm-hmm. here because, I mean, number one, it was illegal, but the pollution going on here, the harm to innocent people.
Chemical endangerment to children.
All these things going on. But you never did say, we did this, now meth is gone.
Yeah. We knew, and we knew it would be better if we could just stop the explosions and, you know, the South Alabama, the medical center, you know, the government essentially
burns and all
spending
that.
Millions of dollars on burns. These people don't have insurance, and like you say, the environment. So we, you know, how many motel rooms were blown up, how many house fires, how many the volunteer fire departments were constantly on the run putting out fires that were caused by meth explosions. And so now none of that happens anymore.
Now, there's still the addicts that are getting it, but they're coming through.
They're getting a more pure form of Mexican ice, which is probably, if you can say, better for them. It doesn't have quite the caustic chemicals and stuff like that that causes all the sores and all like that. So now we're beginning to see more healthier meth addicts.
But you're also having situations where you're getting 80 pounds of this coming through.
Yeah, exactly. But it's better to gain 80 pounds at a time than
I agree.
A quarter of an ounce here and a quarter of an ounce there.
We always be, I guess, because I-10-965 will be a big route.
Well, it's drugs are like anything else. Your transportation hubs or your highways, either railroads, highways, ship. You know.
Yeah.
It's just a business that's an illegal business, but it still follows the same models of business. You have suppliers, you have buyers, you have middlemen. You have to, you know, generate your money through the banks or convert it.
And those drivers of that don't even have to keep a logbook. They can just drive over their given hours. All right, here, one last one. We're about to run out of time, but this question. Are there any age restrictions for part-time employees with the Sheriff's Department? I am retired Army and will soon retire from a public utility in Mobile County. Age requirement?
No age requirements, but you certainly have to have a certain level of fitness.
Okay. This is my question. What about the flotilla? How does that work?
They're all volunteer, and volunteer their time and some of their boats. We do own some boats, but many of the boats I use can be their personal boats.
If somebody was interested in doing that, how do they do that?
They can contact the sheriff's office. We'd put them in touch with the captain in charge of that unit and take an application and talk to them, see if they're interested. I'm sure they'd love to have them.
All right, very good. And remind folks, too, if they want more information about what's going on, from an app to a website.
From follow us on Facebook, download our app, Team Sheriff. Follow us on Twitter, follow us on Instagram.
And you've said that in the past, that
keep up with the latest news and see who's been arrested. If you want to find out who's in jail, if you want to find out if somebody's got warrants out for them, go to our website, look their name up, let us know if you know where they're at. We'll go fetch them up.
Two-way street, though, right? We can come there to get information, but also y'all get a lot of information from people through social media when you're looking for somebody.
We arrest people every week where someone tips us off of where somebody's wanted. Where their location is. If we know where they're at, we'll go get them. That's why they're still warned, because we just don't know where they're at. But if you know them, go on our website, find out they have a warrant, let us know anonymously. We'll keep you anonymously, but we'll go arrest them.
There you go. All right, Sheriff.
Boyfriend,
as always,
girlfriend, ex-husbands, it don't matter.
We get the video from the doorbell thing there for you to we say, here they are. Here they are.
That's
they're
right.
They're ringing the doorbell right now.
It's really going good.
All right, Sheriff, thanks for your time.
Sean, thank you. As always, enjoy listening to your listeners.
All right, and we'll do it again next month if I don't get to see the sheriff before. I'll be back tomorrow bright and early for Mobile Mornings, Paul Feinbaum Show. Oh, wow. I can't wait for the full dissection of last night's loss for the Crimson Tide. That happens next. Paul Feinbaum right here at FM Talk 106.5.